welcome to A Galaxy Not So Far Away, a Mysterious Galaxy podcast. I'm your host, Becca.
And I'm Gary.
And today we have with us Kylie.
Hi.
Jenny.
Hello.
And Victoria.
Hello.
And today we are going to be discussing a topic that is just right up my alley. We're going to be talking about fanfic. And disclaimer, this is a Galaxy Not So Far Away After Dark segment. So if you are not 18 or older, please stop listening.
This is great because it's the exact same crew we had for our last Galaxy After Dark, the hot and broody villains, folks.
Ooh la la.
I mean, I'm not going to say it, but we all have something in common.
Actually, I think it's really interesting that we're doing this one now when our last episodes have been mythology and then adaptations. Like, I feel like we're like progressing through this similar theme of retelling stories, either to like bring them to new times or to give them a new voice or whatever. And I think this is just a natural extension of something that humanity has been doing for thousands of years. I'm excited to talk about the fanfic episode, I'm excited to talk about the fanfic topic. Yeah, we're going to get very meta. This is the podcast about the podcast, if you didn't know. I'm excited to talk about fanfiction, but also, like, I feel incredibly outmatched by everyone else on this episode, because I actually don't have a lot of experience in reading, like, I've read some fanfiction, but I have not been a part of, like, the fanfic community, in a way. I never really went looking through Archive of Our Own for specific stories about characters that I like or whatever. It's just, like, stuff that's come across my path, whether it's on Twitter or Reddit or whatever, and I've, like, discovered it that way.
Man, you are missing out.
Yeah, I think it's a totally different thing, you know? Like, there's definitely characters that I really That's... I think when fan fiction first started really blowing up, when it came into my awareness when I was, like, a sophomore, junior in high school,
That's when you started reading fanfic?
Well, I'm a few years older than you are. And, like, okay. I wasn't really on the internet, like, earlier than that. But... I didn't really have a computer until I was older than that. But I was like writing my own stuff at that point. I wasn't really like reading other people's stuff.
Were you writing stuff? Like, were you writing fanfic sort of like not realizing that you were writing fanfic? Like, was it totally separate from the internet?
I think I was like divorced from the internet community that exists around fanfic. It was just like something that I was doing in my own.
Gary.
Yeah.
Was it horny fanfic?
Not all of it. I was a 16-year-old boy in my sophomore year of high school, so you can decide what you want about that.
What were you writing about?
It doesn't exist on the internet, and I don't have to disclose that information.
Man, you are so lucky. I was writing fanfic when I was like 12, and I ran across it a couple months ago.
I just think it was a different. Oof. It was a different thing. My internet experience when I was that age, when I was reading and I was involved in like the internet communities that popped up around books, I was on like forums talking about what we think is going to happen in the next book. I think I sort of like missed the fan stories side of it completely.
I mean, I think that you're, like, really fortunate there. Like, I wasn't going to bring this up this early, but, like, something that I don't like about the endless supply of fan fiction out there is ever since I, like, read my first fanfic, I think I was, like, 11, like, it's always been far too accessible. Like, it is so easy for underage kids to, like, get their hands on, like, insanely inappropriate material and, like... I mean, like, I think it's important for, like, kids to have fanfic as an outlet as so much as, like, I think that it's a good way to, like, explore those sort of mature topics. But at the same time, like, I definitely read a lot of shit that, like, traumatized me and, like, influenced me in negative ways that I definitely should have just never been able to get my hands on.
That makes sense.
So you kind of dodged a bullet by missing that part of the internet.
I think I still managed to, like, find those things, but they weren't necessarily, like, within the context of, like, fandoms I was a part of at that age. And I think that's where I got lucky, right? Like, most of the inappropriately horny content I consumed as a teenager was not fan fiction.
Fair enough.
Cannot relate.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just like a
I'm with
thing,
Becca,
right? And, like,
but yeah,
now,
no, fair enough.
Now there are characters that I do particularly like, either I'll ship together or I just want, like, more stories about this person, and I'll go looking for those, but even that's not something that I do on a regular basis. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do any of you guys have particular fandoms that you, like, still go seek out fanfiction in?
Oh, hands
Kylo
down.
Kylo Ren.
Hands down.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me, Becca.
That is all the fanfic I've been consuming for the past 2 months.
For me, it's I always, probably the first, besides Sailor Moon, which I don't go back to anymore, was like Buffy and Harry Potter and Supernatural. Mm-hmm. And I still go back to them. I don't go back to the ones I read a long time ago because the websites I went to no longer exist.
Sure.
Ooh, like, or, Quizilla is one.
Yes, live, I wrote that down.
Live Journal is basically completely dead, if not dead.
Oh my God.
Yes. Harry Potter fan fiction. I think it was like .net or something. And that got completely revamped and I have no idea where anything is anymore. So now I go to, like, new ones to read the old fandoms I used to read.
Gotcha. Have you read, like, Point Pleasant by Jen Archer Wood?
I don't think so. I'm so bad with names.
It used to be a Supernatural fan fiction. So I will send that your way.
Yes, please do. Like, just message it to me or text it to me or something so I can.
I will
look it up. But see, yeah, I still reread all of it.
So I was gonna say, like, going back to this made me feel really old, slash maybe I was just really young when I was reading fan fiction.
Sure.
But I was reading it before Archive of Our Own was out, and when fanfiction.net was still not, like, no adult content on fanfiction.net, which it was for a long time. So I was, like, pretty deep in the Buffy forums, but it was all through Yahoo groups.
Oh, geez, yeah. I remember a lot of it. Yep. Looking through all that.
And, like, yep. Authors had their own sites, which some of which are still available. And there were a few, like, archivey sites, but I may or may not have a folder on my computer of, like, a massive number of Buffy Angel fics that somebody, like, another person in those forums compiled and was sharing with people, because a lot of the sites got shut down because authors got published or which we'll get into, but you can't access them anywhere else anymore. But they, again, they may or may not be saved. But yeah, like, I feel like a crushy old woman, but I find AO3 and the new or the current fanfiction.net kind of hard to navigate.
I think that Archive of Our Own is a little harder than I would like it to be. Same. But I do like that, like, one of my favorite things is that you can, in the further search, like, specifications, you can put exactly what you want to see and also exclude exactly what you don't. And, like, when I'm reading Kylo Ren fan fiction, there is way too much, like, murder you as the reader, and I don't want to read that, so I just, like, make sure that that's not going to be shown.
That's fair.
Fan fiction is interesting because there is, like, a really big umbrella of, like, different types of things that people write versus the ones that you, like, hear about people reading. I feel like a lot of the people that I talk to that I know that read fanfic do read very, like, romantic shippy fanfic, but that's not like the extent of what that genre is.
No, I actually, well, I forgot to put them in the Google Doc, but I have, we can talk about them later, but there's two fics specifically that I wanted to shout out because they're both on AO3, and they're so interesting. Like, they're not like your typical shippy sort of fics. There's actually, I'll just shout them out right now. But there's one that's called Steve Rogers at 100, Celebrating Captain America on Film. And it's by a few different authors. I'm sure we can put the link to it in the episode description.
Yeah, I'll include it in the episode description.
But it basically is this super meta fic with assuming that like the Marvel Universe is a part of our like universe. And like, I think it's like Bucky. I haven't read all of it, but because it is, it's kind of long. It's like 10,000 words long. But it basically, I think Bucky and a few other like Avengers go to a film festival, and it's all like these films throughout the last 100 years that are about Captain America. And like they're watching them, incredible. But it's super cool because they're like people like make. Like, they made posters. Like, they're in the... Let me see if I can show you guys. But, like, they make, like, movie posters that look like things that would have come from the movies, like, in the 40s and then, like, the 50s and 70s and stuff. And sure. It's just fascinating. Like, they have all these, like, actual actors that they say, oh, this person played so-and-so in this movie. That's so it's, incredible. Like, people can do fic like that where it's, like, super, super meta or just, like, bring in like multimedia stuff like that, so it's not always just like shipping. It could be like basically whatever you want to see. Like you can think of the craziest scenario and just be like, I'm just gonna write it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I just because you're talking about like specifically about like casting fan casting specific characters in roles in movies, how do you feel about like if a published book does that, like what's the line there on like fan casting? Like I'm specifically thinking this is not something I ever thought I would bring up on this podcast episode.
Oh boy.
In the book House of Leaves that I brought up in the rereads episode, mm-hmm. by Mark Danielewski, it's like a narrative in a narrative in a narrative, but like at one level of the book, it's a textbook written by someone who had like watched a movie by a home movie that was made by a famous director. And in his discussion of that film, he references in the footnotes a bunch of other movies that don't exist, and quotes specific actors and directors and folks about the fake movies that they had been in. And like that blurring of the real world and the like fictional world is something that's like really interesting.
So I will just say for me, I have a very specific relationship with that. Again, okay. For me, this is something I never thought I would bring up on this podcast or to any human being that I've ever worked with. But on top of being very into fan fiction growing up, I was also very into role play like pages. And
oh,
so,
oh my God, Becca,
shut up, Gary.
How are I? Okay, no, I won't. I've been there. I get that.
I get it too, guys. I get it.
I know that world.
I used to spend a lot of time on Tumblr doing roleplay stuff, and so I loved fan casting.
This
like,
I did my Tumblr.
I was in one specific like Marvel Universe one where like I had cast Amber Heard as Captain Marvel because this was so long ago that like the concept, the sheer concept of Captain Marvel being in the MCU was just unfathomable. Like I think at that point we only had like Thor, Captain America, and Iron Man, and that was it.
I spent like 6 months on Tumblr in a Harry Potter role play where I was Remus Lupin.
Amazing.
Yeah. There you go.
I was in a Facebook one where I played one of the Devereaux sisters, I think is their last name, from Sherilyn Kenyon's books. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the ones that was really, like, not known. And she was kind of tattooed in a belly dancer, so I casted Kat Von D as her.
Oh,
incredible. And then my husband was another character. And since there were so many pictures of them, casted, I think, Bam Margera as him, because amazing. There was 8 million pictures of them together and we pretended we were dating as those characters.
Great. I feel like role play game together online with your partner is absolutely relationship goals. Because David gives me so much shit for it, which he has every right to. It's very cringy, but...
But it also, like, there's no harm in it.
There's a little bit of harm.
When you're role playing as real people, it's weird, but, like, I think that there's,
All I was going to say is, I think the only problematic part is a lot of that time I spent in the RP community, I was underage, and a lot of people over the age of 18 had no problem with that. And
yeah, see, that's where it gets fishy.
Yeah. It is a very thin line, and I feel like the fanfiction community is extremely similar, where, like, there are adults like all of us who understand, like, you cannot talk to children about this sort of stuff because, like, that's borderline with pedophilia and that's wrong. But at the same time, for every, like, five of us that there are, five, six of us, there's 100 absolute, like, predators out there who take advantage of the fact that kids use these spaces to explore sexuality. Well,
I also think, you know, a lot of the people... I actually don't know what the demographic, the average, like, person who goes and is participating in either online roleplay or just, like, the fanfiction community at large. Like, I think my general understanding as just, like, the average person on the internet is that the fanfic community is primarily young girls. And I don't know if that's true or if that's just, like, the reputation that it has.
I think absolutely that fan fiction is predominantly young female-bodied individuals and queer people because we are the ones who aren't allowed to talk about sex and sexuality, and we're not allowed to like things without being patronized and criminalized for it.
Yeah, I can only speak to, like, the communities that I've been a part of. Sure. I know for a fact that this research is out there, but I have not read it because I did not do my homework, but I'm pretty sure I have a book upstairs that probably talks about it. But I mean, a lot of fan fiction communities are, you know, LGBTQ+, people of color, disabled writers that are just finding ways to represent themselves, but also their lives, right? Like, not necessarily on an individual level, but, like, in a cultural way.
Do you think that the reason that the fan fiction community brings in these folks is because they're marginalized and not represented in, like, mainstream media stuff?
Go ahead, Becca.
I was just going to say, I feel like I've probably participated in, like, close to, like, 50 different fan spaces throughout my life. Yeah. And that's as a queer, non-binary, fat person. So I've been very thirsty for representation in media my whole life. And for me, like, I've always felt that there was this really big difference and thin line, again, between gratification, like, for people in the queer community and for, like, anybody marginalized specifically. Sure. Mm-hmm. But there's a line between that and fetishizing those communities. And, like, I've dealt a lot with in the fandom spaces and particularly in fan fiction, that, like, queer people, like, LGBTQ people are absolutely, like, fetishized so much of the time in fan fiction because, like, there is this big culture around, like, specifically being interested in gay male, like, shipping.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, it's always been, like, a very interesting thing for me to, like, sort of work my way through. And I don't know if anyone else has had this experience, because it's like sometimes I'm reading like adult fan material and I'm like, are you writing this as like a member of these marginalized spaces, or are you writing it because you have some like fetish related agenda to this type of material?
Tell the difference in like public spaces like fanfic communities, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Because like anybody can be heard in that space, or can like make their voice heard in that space. It's different from I don't know, like I want to say it's different from like the regular publishing community, but I'm sure that that's not, like, I know for a fact that's not true, because we've seen examples of those relationships fetishized in mainstream media as well. So like, mm-hmm. how do you make the authentic voices that are writing that representation that we want to see heard?
I mean, I think that it's really simple. I think that it's by doing your baseline research and seeing if these creators are like, hey, like, I'm a Black person writing about Black experience because I want to see that represented. I'm a queer person writing about queer romance because I want to tell that story. And like, you know, just seeking out authors that.
How do you encourage the everyday, like, I mean, I, like I said earlier, I'm not exactly the person that's like going and looking for fic, but like, how do you encourage the everyday person who's like consuming fan fiction to take that extra step to like be responsible enough in what they're reading to like research the person who wrote it? Like, there's no, the hard thing with fanfic is that like, there's no vetting process. Right? Like, anybody can publish fic. It does make it tough to, like, theoretically the best stuff is going to be able, the stuff that rises to the surface. It's viewed the most, it's read the most, it's, hopefully, that's the way it goes. But, like, that's not always the case. And it's really hard because I think that people, you know, I will, especially people like me that, like, aren't particularly well-versed in what these communities are like, what steps do you think there are?
I mean, all I'm going to say about that is, you know, if you're reading fan fiction, if you're reading novels, if you're an avid reader, then why can't you take the like extra couple of minutes out of your life just to like look at someone's like,
so, yeah,
I totally agree with you there.
Like, just coming from my experience where like a lot of my professional life, right, is very much in, you know, the quote unquote capital L literature, pinky up.
Absolutely.
Academia, which, you know, I really try to, you know, as far as the pinky up goes, I don't really think that I should be grouped with that, but right. Like a lot of my experience is in that kind of space of like when you're saying published literature, but you know, as far as the vetting process, publishers don't necessarily do that. And I think American Dirt is like the prime most recent example that they aren't doing it anymore. Yeah, and like the only thing that I would, yeah, like the only thing that I would share, and I reached out to the fan community for what is now called Fangasm, which is a podcast that kind of began as a Harry Potter erotica podcast.
Hot Erotica
was the original name. It had to change
them years ago.
Yeah, it changed for legal reasons.
That's fair.
But I reached out to the community because I wanted to know kind of what other voices, because my experience with podcasts is different from other people because I don't identify as queer necessarily. I'm relatively heteronormative in the way that I identify, and I don't want that to be the answer. But like a lot of the people that responded did say like that was where they found representation, and it was also where they could, you know, talk to other writers. Because the one thing I do know in fan fiction, there's a lot of disabled writers.
Yes.
And that is not, you know, that's not mainstream. And that in my like pinky up identity, disability studies is my main research area.
Yeah.
disabled characters and disabled authors are just notoriously isn't quite the right word, but are incredibly marginalized. And in the way that they're portrayed and in the way that they are talked about. And that, you know, I can speak to that as far as like, there's more of a voice for that community. And I don't know how to, or I don't know if there's any regulations other than like being a responsible reader and encouraging people to be responsible readers as far as, you know, understanding authors and making, I think they kind of have to make a decision on their own a lot of the time, readers, on, you know, to what extent is the author's identity manipulative of the reader, to what extent, you know, is the idea that writing and art might be the best part of a person who otherwise can't communicate. Which, you know, there are several really, at least in the kind of literature area, that's something that I've engaged with a lot. And it is something that is harder, though, I think, in fan fiction, because at least in my experience, you know, which was probably back in the day, authors didn't kind of share their identities.
Yeah.
Necessarily. That wasn't.
No, most of the fan wasn't a common stuff practice, that I know least. Is behind a screen name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
I don't know if it's just because like I wrote a lot of fan fiction, but I communicated with most other like authors in the same like popularity as myself, and like, I'm still friends with some of them today. But like, I feel like what you said, Jenny, I mean, that really broke it down to like just the basis of consuming all media. Like the responsibility does ultimately fall on the consumer to like,
yeah,
be proactive. And like most of these communities, especially fan fiction being so made up of so many like different marginalized communities, I feel like self-policing ourselves is necessary, because like everybody talks to one another, and like, so if there's like people that are like predators, if there's people that are like racist and like writing like race related content, like it comes out sooner or later within those said communities.
It's tough because different stuff rises to the top in different places, right? Like, I would like to believe that everyone who, like, wants to consume a given piece of media is responsible enough to, like, vet that media, right? But then, like, we just had this conversation sort of privately before recording about, like, there are some customers that come into our store. We have, like, LGBTQ plus, like, displays. And we still, unfortunately, we still have customers that will just, like, not look at them. And I don't even know if it's, like, I don't necessarily believe that that's always because they're just, like, adverse to that thing. Or if it's just because they have been raised in a system that just sort of doesn't give it a second thought anyway. So, and there's a bit of a learning curve of like, hey, maybe you should be more open to this thing that you think that you don't care about, or that you've been conditioned to not care about. Right? Like, I don't know if I blame the 75-year-old man who's been coming to our store for 20 years that he doesn't think that that's something that's for him, because up until recently, that's not a thing that he could have consumed anyway.
See, that I actually don't agree with.
Like, I think there's still a learning curve to be had. Like, I don't know that my grandfather, were he still alive, would be the kind of person who would, like, I just don't think he would see it, even though that section was on display in our store. And I don't know how to, like, teach that person that, hey, you should open your mind a little bit more.
Like, I mean, I guess my response to that is,
are there things you can do,
like,
to encourage that? How do you encourage that in people that think that it's not for them?
I mean,
this is tough. I know I'm putting you guys in
like,
a very
just,
tough spot.
So this is something I talk about all the time in my teaching, right? Like,
I'm fascinated. Like,
this
is,
I don't know. It feels like we're getting a little bit away
tonight. I want to get in the nitty gritty.
As far as like the age thing, I think that I don't like talking about it that way, just because I think that does a disservice to, you
know,
other people who were queer and born at the same time as like, I was going to say, like,
that's my problem with it, right?
Grandfathers. I absolutely agree with you.
That's the issue with it for me, right? Like, queer people have always existed and they've always been part of society. So it's not like it's something new that they've never thought about before.
I still think we can, we can approach that situation with that person strategically.
Yeah.
Because I have to approach those situations all the time in teaching where I have resistance.
As a bookseller, I've definitely put stuff in hands that are more representative than they maybe expect it to be. Mm-hmm. It's something that someone would have turned away from, but you give them the pitch and you're like, no, actually, I think you'd like this for these reasons. And then it still is introducing them to concepts that they had been removed from or had removed themselves from. Like, I don't really know. Like, it's tough.
Well, that's the best thing about literature, right? Is it teaches us about lives that are not our
Absolutely.
Own. Like that.
Well, that's the thing that's wild, is because you still have authors that like write representation and acceptance, and then they don't preach it, and that's hard.
That yeah.
We don't have to get into that. That's a lot, but you know, it's so I think that's the thing that like I really appreciate about fan fiction and the stuff that I have read, is that like I think that fan fiction is far more representative than any other form of media in queer and underrepresented groups. And I find that fascinating. I'm kind of devastated that a lot more of that doesn't hit the surface, if that makes sense.
Well, something that I think is really important for the fan fiction community, like we've talked about Archive of Our Own a couple times already, but yeah. We haven't mentioned, they won last year, I believe it was, the Hugo Award for Best Related Work. And, like, it wasn't just, like, one person. Like, it was an acknowledgement of all the fan fiction writers on that website. And, like, one of the reasons why that is particularly so extra impressive to me is because for years now, I can't even count how many years it's been. I've lost track. That website has been in beta mode. Like, it's never officially launched.
It was in beta forever.
Mm-hmm. And it still is. And like, I think it's insane and like so commendable and like proof that like fan fiction is a form of literature, whether Absolutely, or not people 100%. Want to acknowledge it.
Well, and I think
they're incredibly well
written. I think that all writing, it's hard when you're just like a person. Oh, I'm just me in my bedroom writing this thing for me and my friends, or just for me in my notebook. Like, it's not, this isn't real literature. I'm not a published author. How dare you call me a writer? But like, no, I think that all of that still falls under the umbrella of literature. And I think that like, if you think that the only writers are the people who are published by publishing houses, then you're fooling yourself. Then you have a very narrow definition of what a writer is. And it's hard. Like, for me as a kid, writing my own stories or writing fan fiction about characters that I really liked, I was very afraid to share a lot of that with people that I knew. And, like, by no means am I published in any sort of way. But when people, like, give me praise for the writing that I have done, it is so easy for me to be like, no, I don't deserve that. Like,
I'm actually curious too, because I know that you and I have both mentioned writing fan fiction. Has anyone else that's recording today participated in writing any sort of fan fiction?
Yeah.
You don't have to say if you don't want to, but
I don't think anything ever got longer than a page.
I have.
That is okay.
Some of mine I posted, God, a long time ago when the Harry Potter one was up and good. And then I took it all off, saved it on a flash drive, and I haven't touched any of it since. And the stuff I've written currently hasn't seen anywhere online at all.
I think it can be fun, though, like, just writing fan fiction for yourself, like, for your own private enjoyment.
Oh, it's totally for myself. Because mine are situations that don't make sense.
Everything that I wrote was in notebooks, like, physical writing. Like, it never hit the internet, so it doesn't exist anywhere anymore, unfortunately.
Until I come to your house and steal it and put it on.
No, my apartment flooded like 4 years ago. Those books are gone.
See, no. That's why you need to at least type them up and put them on something so you
It's better that they're gone.
I was going to say, I regret so much that I cannot go back and delete fan fiction because I don't remember my 11-year-old fucking password email.
I have one fic up on AO3, and it is purely self-indulgent about a really minor character from Star Wars Legends. Like,
who is it about?
What?
Who is it about?
Who is it about?
Yes.
It's about George Cardass, who is a super minor character from, like, the Thrawn books, and that's whom I love.
Kylie.
You're so good!
And that is the one thing I've ever put up on AO3. I have more that I have thought about writing, and I've never done it. But
most of my fanfic is Star Wars fanfic.
That's valid.
Actually, I think almost all of my fanfic is Star Wars fanfic, now that I think about it.
I want to say most of mine is Marvel.
That's fun.
There are only 29 fanfics with that character, and I mean, how would I possibly know that?
It up.
Oh,
what?
She's gonna read all. They, sorry, my bad. They are gonna read all of them up tonight and just start messaging you. Is it this one?
Is it this one?
I shouldn't
have said anything.
I'm just gonna have to start making notes about the way that Kylie types.
Just read Kylie's staff picks.
Do any of them mention a sweet boy?
No, he's not a sweet boy. But I still love him.
I would say that he's still pure of heart and dumb of ass.
Well, he absolutely is. Absolutely.
So just find the one that really shows him as pure of heart and dumb of ass, and that's the one.
Perfect.
This is bad. We should have. I'm sorry for throwing Kylie under the bus like this.
You throw me under the bus like
that. She's an adult. She answered the question.
Well, because everyone else was answering the question.
But Becca looked for yours.
Well, because Kylie gave, like, a more, like, smaller character. Mine are all about Marvel. How many characters are in Marvel?
Lots.
Right?
There's a reason I give broad answers.
Huh. You'll never be able to find any of my fan fiction because it's sprawled across several different websites and it's all Bleach characters and I can't even remember their names.
Oh, well, I actually, never mind. I've never watched Bleach, so I don't know shit.
I haven't either.
Because they watch me, but that's, no, never mind.
No, I'm not challenging you. I don't even remember the characters' names.
I wanted to take it as a challenge, but, you know.
Hey, better luck to you, man.
Beyond me, my ability. No, I don't know. So, like, I never really... You know, like I said, I wrote a bit of Star Wars fanfic, especially as a kid growing up. But, like, I was never really part of those communities. I don't think I was really, like, invested in internet communities until much later. So my only experience with, like, talking about book characters online when I was, like, 12 or 13, I was part of... I really liked this book series by DJ McHale called Pendragon, and he had a forum on his website where people could talk about the characters and what they thought was going to happen in other books. And so that was like the majority of my experience of talking about fictional characters on the internet. And it wasn't until much later that I started like reading other people's writing about like I think it's because there was such a plethora of Star Wars content out there as a kid for me anyway. Like, that was always the universe I wanted to dig into. And the expanded universe is a weird extension of okay, I don't want to be disparaging to the old expanded universe of Star Wars books. That's kind of fan fiction, right?
It is fan fiction.
Yeah.
And so, Matt, like, and I that got was into, like,
an hour-long argument about this one time.
That was the extent of my fan fiction knowledge, was, like, the expanded Star Wars stuff. Because when I was 8 years old and saw Phantom Menace, there were suddenly dozens of books about young Anakin Skywalker that I could go read. And so I didn't really have to, like, go looking to the internet for that content. It was just always there. I got lucky, I guess, if you could call reading way too much expanded universe lucky. You know, that was really where I all my fan writing, reading existed growing up.
Honestly, the way that I fell into fan fiction is I really liked Inuyasha, the anime.
I used
my limited ability to go on the internet to look up pictures from Inuyasha the anime. And I came across fan art, which that was my first time learning that that existed beyond me just shittily drawing Sailor Moon. And then quickly from that, it became like, I don't think that the first like couple of fanfics I found were like inappropriate, but they were more like, hey, you know how like you want Kagome and Inuyasha to kiss? This is a fanfic about them being, like, boyfriend-girlfriend. And I was like, hell yeah. And then I would say about two fics later, it was like, here is pornography.
That sounds appropriate. That sounds like fanfiction to me.
Yep.
And I was, like, 11, and I was like, whoa, this place is pretty cool.
I found fanfic similarly. I just was so obsessed with Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and this was before like reruns were going too, so my way of reading and experiencing the series before I got to it, which was around season 3, was through novelizations, which, like, the extended universe, I think, are fanfic, but then just googling and like looking up synopses of plots, because I was the level of obsession I have for Buffy is very high. Much of my brain.
And I get along so well.
And my brain is just full of Buffy information, and it's very deep, but I can pull it out of the drop of a hat. But that's how I found it. And this was like, I had just gotten a computer because we didn't get, I mean, we were relatively late in getting the internet in my house growing up. And that was what I wanted to look in. Like, that's what I researched, because that's what I loved at that point in my life. And then there
was
fanfic.
Is that how everyone sort of came into, like, Becca, you mentioned doing that for Inuyasha, but, like, Victoria, Kylie, is that how, like, you guys stumbled into fanfic as well? Was it just like, oh, I want to Google search stories with these characters? Or did you have a different sort of in to that community?
I think my in was on Tumblr. And then
that makes sense.
Yeah, it was Tumblr, and just kind of being on Tumblr and seeing all the Tumblr things. And then
a lot of my fanfic experience is because of Tumblr.
Yeah, I don't usually go searching for fic. I'll read something if I hear it recommended by somebody whose taste I trust.
Sure.
And then maybe sometimes I'll go on like a little bit of a binge. And I don't know, it kind of, I'm very picky.
That's fair.
Mine,
sorry, go ahead, because like I said, I don't have a lot of experience. Go ahead.
You don't have a lot of experience.
I'm not trying to step on your toes.
It's all good. Mine started on, Live/Dead Journal, because I was...
RIP Live Journal.
I was so like unique. I had a dead journal, not a live journal. Which was basically a live journal, but with a black screen instead of a white screen.
You were in dark mode.
I was in dark mode before dark mode ever happened.
It was in dark mode before it was cool.
And then from there it went to Quizzella. I kind of just followed the trend of the people who I trusted reading, and I found online reading. And now it's all like Tumblr and Wattpad.
And I remember being 13 years old and reading Gerard Way / original character fan fiction on Quizlet.
Yes, I totally did that too. Oh my god.
I really thought that I was a black-haired girl in fishnets and striped stockings. I thought that was the peak of originality. I was like, ain't nobody doing this.
Right?
How do you feel about people writing fanfic about real people?
I feel like
that's problematic.
Don't like it.
I would like to plead the fifth.
I'm not... So I'm weird. I'm very weird about it.
I understand that it's not right.
I get the appeal and I'll read some of it, but I'm very particular if we are talking about someone who is married. I don't want to read a reader insert of that.
I think that there's always problems. I have a friend of mine that I've known since high school who has gone on to be like a bit of an internet presence. And there have been people on Twitter who have like tried to roleplay her as though she's a character. And she's like, hey, like, I'm a real person. Stop doing this.
So here's the thing. Here's my opinion about it. Behind closed doors, quietly and privately, without affecting anybody around me, I may once in a while read a self-insert about a old crush on a celebrity. However, people that aggressively like ship real people together, people that have no boundaries when it comes to communicating with people that are on the fame pedestal, like that's it's, I mean, like, I understand realistically that everyone can't be where I am, where like I have common sense about that sort of thing.
So
as a genre, not one I approve of. But I do have fond memories of pretending that Gerard Way saw me at his show and wanted me to be his girlfriend. And also, he was a vampire.
And I think for me, like, if you want to write, I'm going to use two actors who I know goof off all the time on set, and that's Jensen Ackles and Jared Padalecki. If you want to write,
we are getting into the wincest.
Not at all where I was going. I'm saying no.
I don't know anything about Supernatural. I just know that it's a phrase.
I've seen fanfic of just those two goofing off on set, and I still think it's weird that people like put the real person into it, but you're doing something they do automatically, so you're just literally typing what you see. Sure. So it's one thing.
However, I feel like there's always the way that celebrities react. Like, I know like Oscar Isaac and John Boyega are very into and find like the fan fiction amusing, but at the same time, Tyler Hoechlin and Dylan O'Brien, who were on Teen Wolf, like, do not talk to each other anymore because people were so aggressive about shipping them on Teen Wolf that that it ruined their personal relationship. And like, that is, it's so embarrassing because like, how is fandom supposed to be taken seriously when we can't respect people's like basic human rights to privacy?
Well, that happens a lot, especially in like the fandoms of like big pop cultural media sensations, things like Star Wars or Marvel, where you have these actors that step into these roles and then they get such aggressive feedback on the internet that they're like, I don't use Twitter anymore. You know?
Yep.
Like, that sucks. I don't think it's fair to those people just because they're like in a movie everyone likes that suddenly they shouldn't feel safe online.
Well, and I think
It sucks. The internet is great, and also it sucks all the time.
Beyond the internet, what I was going to say is, I mean, like, that's always been the common thread for famous people because they are societally put on a pedestal that people don't, like, they don't treat them like they would, like,
you and I treat
each other. And, like, it's not right, but it's a bigger issue than just, like, fan fiction.
No. Absolutely. That's definitely a bigger problem than that. It's just like, you would think over the internet there'd be even some sort of remove from, like, the day-to-day. Like, it's one... No, I know that it's a laughable concept, and yet, it's not that absurd of an idea. Right? Like...
Absurd? No. Unrealistic? Absolutely.
Yeah, because people suck, I guess. I don't know. We're so, in the weeds.
Yeah. So, Jenny, I saw... I feel like everything keeps getting really serious. Jenny, I saw that you wanted to talk about OTPs. We should talk about OTPs.
I just thought that might be a fun thing to share. What OTP's OTP was. This was supposed
I've been like, home too long, food. And I want the serious, controversial. I want the tough topics.
Gary was like,
Gary, this is the fan fiction episode. I
don't know fanfic, so I'm just gonna. I feel bad.
You're just gonna derail us to serious talk.
Gary literally was like, I know that this is the After Dark episode and that we're all supposed to be like horny and having fun, but sorry, I want to talk about the problems with society.
Social issues.
Quarantine has got me in a weird headspace, y'all.
Listen, Gary, we all absolutely love broody boys.
Please, let's talk about OTPs. Can we talk about OTPs, please?
Yes.
Kylie, what's yours?
That's such a hard question. Like, of all time and all fandoms ever.
Give
always.
Me several.
I don't even please. Know. I feel like my first OTP was from the Song of the Lioness books by Tamora Pierce.
Oh my god, Kylie.
I really ship George and Alana, and I know they like technically end up together, so it's kind of boring, but I just love them so much.
The number of arguments I got in with my cousin about George and Alana versus Jonathan and Alana.
We had a little Song of the Lioness Society in junior high where we would pass the books around and reread them. Mm-hmm. And then me and all of my friends, we had different pairings that we liked, and we would argue about them endlessly.
See, I was Alana Jonathan, but in my rereading, I have changed.
I am now George and Alana are so good. I love them.
They are. I was innocent. I didn't know any better.
But I feel like that was probably my first one that I could like vividly remember feeling very passionate about.
Oh, I was so passionate about it. Mm-hmm. I was a very passionate fourth grader. I really am not kidding when I can tell you that our fights about this ended up in my cousin's speech at Matt and my wedding.
Oh my god.
That's a legacy right there.
This occupied a lot of our time.
Goals.
Oh, I'll go. My other than Jonathan Alana, which has changed, my OTP is Buffy Angel. It is. But Ooh. Our internet is named Wolfstar.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes, I'm down for Wolfstar.
I'm sorry I booed you. I was joking.
No, I'll accept it.
Oh, okay, cool.
But I'm not giving that one up. I changed my mind on Alana Jonathan, but I'm not changing on Buffy Angel.
That is fair. What about you, Victoria?
I don't know. Probably when Buffy first started, it was actually Buffy Xander.
Ah, no.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
And, yes! And my favorite episode, no! hands down, is the yes! hyena one.
Yes.
I love that episode.
I no. love the hyena Victoria! Episode.
Oh, my gosh.
And then Spike got on the scene, and from the minute he stepped on, I'm like, nope, I'm Buffy Spike, because Xander's whiny, and I can't deal with it anymore. And then I don't know, like, I need more, like, narrowing down. My brain is too...
I know, it's too big of a question.
All right, we'll move on. Gary, what about you?
Oh, my God. How dare you put me on the spot like this?
I want everyone to go so I can tell you all that you're wrong.
You're wrong.
I'm very curious about what yours is now, actually.
Yeah, Becca.
Anyways, you're all wrong because the best pairing of all time is Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn. They are the perfect pairing. They are perfect lesbians.
Have you read Sarah J. Maas's Catwoman YA novel?
I have not.
It is. You have to, Becca. You should. You have to. I am putting that on your to-read list. You have to.
Please do.
You
don't all have right. a
choice. Please do.
When we get to the end, Victoria will just answer for me what I'm going to read.
Great.
Yeah, you just swing by my house. I'll leave it on my porch. We won't even have to talk to each other. There we go.
Perfect. I'll bring you some coffee cake that
I made. I would say I would do the same, yum. But my copy's signed and I'm going to keep it.
No, that's great. Fair. That's well, I understand.
I'm going to give Becca a book sleeve to keep the book in. And then if it comes back damaged, I'm going to ruin your life.
I look forward JK. To it.
Victoria scares me.
I find Victoria carefully. Very exciting.
Tread carefully.
Make me sound psycho, Gary. Thanks.
Gary, you have not answered the question.
I mean,
yeah, Gary, you need to answer the question.
How dare you?
Don't I you how I dare won I?
This deflection here.
Nope.
No, you don't get out of it.
God, I don't actually know, like...
Well, what's one of your favorites, then? What's one of your favorite OTPs?
The problem that I'm having right now
oh my
is
God.
All... No, shut... Let me... I'm not...
You hear him? He tried to tell me to shut up.
Hey, guys, remember I'm when having... Gary told us we had to choose 3 romance novels and that's it?
I think it was 4, and then I proved my point by trying to make him narrow down his 4 favorite Star
saying,
Wars
hey. I'm just saying he's proving our point again.
Yep.
Guys, stop. Gary is sensitive.
The problem I'm having is that everyone is like, oh, my first OTP, and like, I don't know if I could tell you what my, like...
What's the first one you remember?
What's Gary, I know how OTP? To make you feel better. I used to ship Thor and Loki really bad, and well, then I realized see, like, that even, was
okay,
wrong.
Here's my problem, right?
Now tell us what you like.
The Thor and Loki stuff in Marvel is still within the last 10 years. I'm almost 30. But
Gary,
I couldn't tell you.
You're not going to talk about how old we are. Gary.
No,
Gary,
but
I'm
like,
over 30. Come on.
Gary, I'm going to be 33 next month.
Gary, there's fan fiction out there of the Bible. Like, just tell us what you like.
I feel that I am being... I feel like I'm taking the easy answer by picking like stuff from the last couple years.
No, just do
like,
it.
I don't know.
Go.
No.
Opinions
no, what I'm
change.
Saying is like it was not a thing. I didn't ship characters together when I was a kid. It was never in my brain. Like
I'm going to cry.
Okay,
if you
then
don't tell
who
us.
Did you
no,
ship?
No. Actually, listen. Like I'm making like a real statement here. And that like it just wasn't no.
Gary, wait. We're okay with your real answer. Just give us one that you like now then.
No, but I don't.
There has to be 2 characters in a book you read where you're like, I want these 2 characters together. And then whether or not they end up together at the end of that book or the series, that's that. But there has to be 1 pair of characters that you really want together.
Know, like the characters that I like the most right now that seem to have, I'm sorry to do this an hour.
I know what
podcast.
It is. Is it General Grievous and Snoke?
No, it's not. That is a wild pairing. And so no. I would love to say yes.
For the record, not, my objection is General Grievous.
I have never been a particularly romantic person, and so I haven't really projected romantic stuff onto kids. Like, the most recent thing that I got excited about was, like, CJ and Flick and Animal Crossing, but, like, even that
I
is, like, a...
Them.
I love them.
That can be your OTP.
I will take this time to say, Nintendo, I heard that you don't think they're gay, and I want you to know
oh,
that you're
roommates.
Wrong.
I got into an argument in a Star Wars group that I'm in recently about Sheeran Imwe and Baze Malbus. Because I love to think of the two of them as a couple, but like the fandom doesn't seem to for the
Seems
most part.
Seems like they are one of your OTPs then.
But like, I don't, that's not
I don't think that I was concerned with that as, like, a kid growing up. I didn't have, like, characters that I...
We're not talking about childhood!
No. It just so happens that...
Their first OTP and mine is from, but, like, okay, 3 years.
But
like,
that was not week. The specification. We were just talking OTPs in general.
I don't know. Like, it's a weird thing, right? Like, I think...
I don't think it's a weird thing not to have an OTP from, like, over a decade ago.
It's not something okay. that I've had.
Have more than one, Gary.
No, I'm
yeah, I have that, plenty like, in like, my head.
My exposure to Harry Potter fan fiction came in the last, really, like, the 3 years, because I don't know why, I just couldn't read it when I was reading.
Fanfic has never been, like, a thing. I have
OTPs for Harry Potter, and there's 3 of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm interested. And yet also, like,
Harry and Hermione.
Do you really?
I feel like I missed something. What? Really,
what characters did you just share? Who and Hermione?
Dramini.
That's what I thought you said. Hermione. Please explain why. Like, I don't get it.
Jenny. I am doing a fantastic fan fiction read aloud about Dramini.
Okay. They are also just a fantastic shout out to the
final season of Potterotica.
I'm
sorry, but when Hermione punched him in the face, I was like, you two are meant to be together.
Yep. I don't see that as romantic at all.
It's not for me. I did ship Draco and Hermione, and it was because I could totally see them in my head bettering themselves. Like, Hermione always did what she could to be the best student, and I feel like Draco pushed her for that, and I feel like she could in turn make him not such a dick.
Oh yeah, exactly, that's it. Like, she was one of the only characters ever that wasn't afraid to just be like, you know what, Draco, fuck you.
So for me, that's why I shipped them, was because it's like, I can see you two making each other
he was the
better.
Only person who was willing to use racial slurs against her as well.
There are a lot of problems with Harry Potter.
I'm also saying, like, Draco kind of has a come to Jesus moment by the end of Harry Potter, and the fics that I read happen after they graduate.
Yeah. Nothing I read is when they're in school.
Full disclaimer here for all of fandoms we're talking about. We are not ever consuming or enjoying underage characters in romantic
situations. We should have
said
this
absolutely.
You can edit it in.
I think you need to edit that in, because for me,
I'll cut this and I'll put it there.
Perfect.
I don't
do it twice.
I'm not comfortable reading fanfic of any kind. It could have a K rating to an X rating. I will read none of it if the characters are underage.
Absolutely.
What's a K rating?
Kindergarten. So it's basically like fluff. It's like nothing. We went to eat sandwiches at Burger King.
Okay.
I do not read anything.
I read
under
none
the
of
M.
it. Well, I read it all, but I will not read any
not?
Of it.
Is that true?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I only read sexually explicit fan fiction.
Okay.
That's but what, like, I'm there for.
I would say there's maybe 5% of the fan fiction that I've read that is not sexually explicit.
Okay, oh, yeah, you know what?
Those ones are not good.
I will give you a very gracious 2%. I will sometimes read teen level fan fiction.
Most of the stuff that I've read has, like, not been sexually explicit. And I don't know if that's because that's what came across my, like, Tumblr feed or what, but, like I said, like, I wasn't necessarily seeking it out, and so that wasn't stuff that came across my radar.
Yeah,
I was,
like,
really surprised
when
I started doing a podcast about Harry Potter to discover that, like, there's a much bigger dearth of Harry Potter fanfiction than I could have anticipated. And so I'm just, avoiding it. Because, like, it's daunting. There's so much.
Yeah.
Where do you start?
You start with just a random one, and you go down that rabbit hole.
You go down the rabbit hole.
I've seen like, fan films on YouTube. There's that musical.
Are we talking fan films? Or are we talking fan bits? Are you talking about a Harry Potter musical?
There's a bunch
Aaron
of stuff,
Chris,
right?
Who's now
I
a big
love
star.
Aaron Chris.
Harry Potter musical is great. I met the guy who did Puffs. Was that the name of that musical?
Yep. That's the Hufflepuff one.
I met the guy that made Puffs at Comic-Con a couple years ago, and he was great. I used to watch Potter Puppet Pals when I was in high school.
Did. I loved that. I still go back to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's classic.
I have a friend that is a part of this. I have a friend that's part of this company, and they do these shows at Comic-Con every year where they mash up like a franchise with a musical. So they did Harry Potter and Wicked.
Cool.
It was hilarious. It was amazing.
I know what you're talking about.
Who played Elphaba?
No, they were all the Harry Potter characters, but they were singing. They rewrote the lyrics to the Wicked songs. So my friends played Dumbledore. And it was hilarious and amazing.
That sounds great.
But they did. Yeah. They've done like The Hobbit and like Star Wars and stuff. I think their Star Wars That's one rad. They mashed with Phantom. I think. If I remember correctly.
Ooh, amazing.
But yeah, it's pretty fun.
I love stuff like that. I think that like fan fiction is just like one small piece of the like fandom community and like fans of stuff making work about the stuff they like. And there's a complicated relationship there, right? Being someone who creates a character or writes a book or whatever, and suddenly other people are creating works about the thing you created or within the world of the thing you created. And like, how do you balance that? Right. Like, I know this episode's not going to air for a while from when we record it, but we just had that, NK Jemisin thread spread around our work Slack today about how she doesn't want people sending their fan fiction to her because it's a complicated relationship, right? Like, if she reads something that a fan sends her, and then that inspires her in some way when she's writing those characters later, there's, like, legal ramifications to that, right? Yep. Like, I think that there's a divorce that authors and writers sort of have to have from the fan fiction community, at least about their own works.
I definitely think, like, people... I mean, if they want to write about something, that's on them, but they need to respect the author enough not to throw it at them. Because
I think that's really bold. You're willing to like write someone else's characters and then be like, hey, read this thing I wrote with your characters in it.
Yeah, like, the thing that like I really agreed with is someone responded in that thread and they said that like fan fiction is meant to be shared in fandom spaces. And I do absolutely agree with that. Like, I think that it's very odd to like send authors your fan fiction of those characters. But I did disagree with when she said she wouldn't even really look at fan art. I did think that that was, like, kind of just, like, too cautious. Because, if she's not an illustrator, like, I don't know. I think that came up later in that same thread.
I think the reason she said that is because she's looking at taking her books and throwing them at other mediums.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's true.
Because of that, she doesn't want someone else's interpretation in her head when she goes and she's like, either, hey, I want this movie or I want this comic book done and this is what it should look like, because then that's taking someone else's idea, which is copyrighted, and putting it and selling it as her own, which is a copyright issue.
Bringing up comics, I just wanted to say that that was an interesting thing that I discussed a little bit with Gary and also with my partner, who is an editor at IDW comic publisher. And for myself as a freelance illustrator that's like working on being part of the comic industry, like so much of your hireability is based on publishers and authors being able to see that like you are able to draw the characters or like see that like you understand, like just as an example, like if somebody is doing a Batman comic and I really want to draw Poison Ivy in their Batman comic, like they are going to want to see that I can draw Poison Ivy, and so like me having fan art of it available and sending it is encouraged, but like at the same time, like as far as writing goes, like if you send unsolicited pitches or like scripts or anything to them, like they have to instantly sort of just like
it's
be like,
well, I think it puts them in a really like an uncomfortable position, I think, even beyond like the legal ramifications. Like, obviously, and I think NK Jemisin talks about this in the thread, she's like, it's something out of like a joy and a celebration of her work, and that's what she sees it as. But you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that she had like, it kind of, it places a lot of expectations on her reaction as well. So
absolutely,
like, if I were in her position, I don't know that I would want to respond to that when it gets sent to me, because that is really like, it, it feels like,
what happens when someone when someone sends her a piece of fan art of a character from The City We Became? And then a producer from a movie studio comes and is like, hey, we want to make a movie out of this book that you wrote. And here are some ideas we have for this character. And she's like, hey, I like that one because it reminds me of that piece of fan art that someone sent me once. And then it's like, hey, did I just appropriate that person's idea? Like, where's the... hey, you stole my idea for what that character is. I sent you this thing, and now this character looks like the character I drew for you on this movie that just came out, and I didn't get any credit.
I mean, there have been instances, and I think that I don't know if I brought this up with you guys or if I brought it up in my conversation with David, so bear with me if I'm repeating myself to you, but there are several, like a handful of instances where fandom creates either like a concept through fan art or like fan fiction or what have you, and it gains so much traction and the author or creator sees it so much that like new characters are created as like this like community sort of like creation, or like new concepts that are introduced into stories and made like canon that never otherwise would have existed. And like, so I feel like there are two very like stark different sides to it.
There's like, a really like tenuous, I think that it differs there.
I think it differs author to author. I feel like each creator has to choose what their preferences. Like the creator of Lore Olympus loves receiving fan art and fan creations of the Lore Olympus webcomic series, which is absolutely opposite of what we're discussing with this other author.
Does the author and illustrator of Lore Olympus take those ideas from the things that they receive and incorporate them into their work? And if they do, are they crediting those people for the work they did?
And I guess that's the discussion, right?
Yeah, right. Like, I think that's where all of the mushy legal ramification happens, is in that space between giving people the credit they're due for the work that they've done. And if you're an author that is getting, I mean, I don't know how many people are sending NK Jemisin fanfic, like,
Too many.
She tweeted about it, right? So, like, I think that that's where the problem happens, is when you're getting such an enormous amount of stuff about your characters, if you are going to take the time to read that stuff or look at that fan art and somehow that becomes incorporated and you don't give the proper credit where it's due, that's where the legal ramifications come up. And so, for people like that, it's probably easier to just not consume any of it. To just ignore it and be like, hey, I love that you're doing this thing, but don't send it to me because if I use it, it's problematic. It's easier to divorce yourself from that than to risk anything happening down the line. I think it's hard. I think it's a tough position to be in.
I mean, every author's relationship or every creator's relationship to fanfic is different, right? Like people obviously view it differently across the board. And I think that's fine. Like, I don't necessarily begrudge anyone for their resistance to or support of fanfic. Like, we already talked about how like actors have kind of withdrawn fully from social media because of kind of the onslaught that they get. And but then we also have like Tom Felton, who played Draco and who loves fanfic and is like really into like shipping Drarry now and will post about it. But like, that's, I don't know, I think that's kind of like their right to do. I mean, we know J.K. Rowling hates fanfic.
Yeah.
Yes. 100%. But we know like Joss Whedon loves fanfic, and so does Charlaine Harris, who did True Blood. Like, she has always been really supportive of that kind of creative outlet. And that's obviously going to be where I am going to be like, yes, I you know, love authors that are supportive of the fan community in that way. I think it's,
I agree,
more welcoming, but that doesn't mean, like, I just don't think that it also makes it their responsibility to respond to and give feedback.
Mm-hmm. On this is completely unrelated, but do you guys want to know a fun fact about True Blood?
Yeah.
Go always. For it.
There's a character in the book series, and I haven't read it myself, but there's a character in the book series based off of my romantic partner, David.
Oh my God, really? Who is it?
What? Actually, that doesn't surprise me, actually.
You know what? I will message the group about it, and we can put it in the description if people are interested.
You need to definitely message me about it because
my husband read those books. Wait, you should just say, you should just
now,
say
wait, it. Is it in the book it or is it in the series?
It's like in the TV books. Series. It's the in books. The books. It's about, it's from when he was a child, so.
Great.
Okay, so Scott will know for sure the character because he's read the
series. It's been a while since I've read it.
David just texted me from the other room to say that there are characters based on a lot of Mysterious Galaxy staffers in the True Blood series.
Oh my God! Can I also...
Can David write us a list?
And yeah, I will have David write us a master list.
Please do.
Great. Need it.
I just like I have to put that out there.
Now go out and buy the entire series because it has all of us in it, and you know you love us.
Charlaine came to the store not long after I started working for the store, and was absolutely not the person I thought the writer of True Blood was going to be.
Right?
She's
David
wonderful.
Said to ask I Mary Elizabeth. Apparently, she will more know more information than he will since he was again a child.
Great.
So okay. we'll press her for information later.
Okay. Yes, we should press her. We should bring her on and be like, tell us everything.
I don't mean to make a sharp segue, but we've been recording for quite a while, and I really wanted to talk a little bit about famous fan fiction.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. I sent it to the podcast group a couple days ago and heard nothing from you sons of bitches.
Well,
but what? Sam,
I must
Sam
have missed
Mag,
it.
If it's in that one chat, 9 times out of 10, I don't see it because the podcast is pretty much the one I skip, considering all of the other.
Wow.
I know, I'm
rude.
Horrible. Well, the thing is if it's not around at the time of an episode I'm going to be on, I have all of the IB stuff going on.
Yeah, that's fair.
That is absolutely
there's too
fair.
Many chats. I
just
go,
tag
I
you and, every and, time to make sure you see it.
Yes. So if it's something you desperately want me to see, please tag me in it, because between our Slack and my other work's emails,
that's fair.
I have so much going on in my head, I'm kind of going to go crazy.
I promise I was not serious. I'm not angry at anybody.
You can be angry at me. It's okay.
An author that I'm sure we're all a bit familiar with, Sam Maggs, participated in with several other people, including some different authors and creators and drag queens. They did a live reading of My Immortal.
Ooh.
The absolutely like,
I did see this.
Famous. Yeah,
I
it's a super it. Famous fanfic for people that don't know. It's a Harry Potter fanfiction. And I mean, like, it's notable in the community, I would say. Everybody has at least somewhat heard of it, I feel like. But beyond
clearly,
that,
I am not in the fanfic community.
Beyond that, like, I wanted to talk a little bit about fanfictions that have turned into films.
Yeah.
The most popular and most well-known being 50 Shades of Grey by E.L. James. It was a Twilight fanfic.
Yep.
And like I said, like pretty much everybody knows that because there were dozens of articles about it. But the Mortal Instruments series by Cassandra Clare, which also then became a movie series. I think Vanessa Hudgens was in it.
I don't
that,
remember who
I think they
yeah.
only made like one or two of those.
Yeah.
I think they only made the first. They made the first one and then they did a TV series.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the TV series like just ended.
Well, yeah. The thing that's actually important about that pertaining to this is it used to be a Harry Potter fan fiction. It was about Ginny Weasley and Draco Malfoy.
What?
Interesting.
Yes. And then
I did not know that.
I have recommended it to Gary. I've recommended it to Jenny. I don't know if either of you have read it. Nope. But the current and most popular famous fanfic that, I mean, it's like, it's blown up on TikTok, Tumblr. Yeah. There's articles about it now. Is Fix Your Attitude by Casa Novella on Archive of Our Own. It is a Kylo Ren / self-insert romance series. It is everything I've ever wanted out of fanfiction, and it is actually what 2 months ago drug me back into fanfiction reading after, like, literally, like, 5+ years of not reading fanfiction.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's basically, like, you're an engineer on the Star Destroyer or whatever, and, like, end up becoming, like, Kylo Ren's, like, personal engineer, and, like, you guys, like, bang a bunch, and there's, like...
That's what they're calling it these days?
Yep. You're his personal engineer.
But, like, it's... I feel like it has so much, like, taboo stuff in it that's, like... I wanted to talk a little bit about, like, the feeling that other people get when they read fan fiction, because, like, I feel like when I find something that is particularly juicy as far as, like, mature content, like, I feel the same excitement and embarrassment as, like, having a crush in middle school. Like, I just, like, I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, oh my God. Like,
see, I'm the exact opposite. I can sit in a room with other people in there and read the smuttiest thing on the planet.
Thank you. That was the word I was looking for. Smut.
And have a complete straight face. You will think I'm looking at baking recipes. However, if I'm reading the fluffiest, like, tee, he kissed me, tee, hee, hee thing, I can't stop giggling.
That's so funny.
Like, the cutest, like, little moment with, like, when they kiss and her leg pops up, I will just start giggling.
See, for me, it's, like, reading, like, that very smutty, aggressive fan fiction. Like, I can usually, like, straight face it, and, like, general fluff doesn't do it for me. But, like, if there's fluffy moments, like, when Kylo Ren is once in a while nice to you in this Fix Your Attitude fanfic, this, like, it makes me, like, I'm like, oh my goodness, like, I am blushing because I'm like, he said hi to me
this
instead
is
of telling
moment,
me to die.
This is that moment I mentioned in the Hot Broody Villains episode where Anakin Skywalker thinks about Padme and he snaps his thing in his hands in half because, like, he's so overcome with emotion. Yeah.
That is the feeling I'm looking for 24/7 out of every romantic endeavor.
Yep.
If you're not smashing a cup while thinking of me, what is the point?
The best thing David could do right now is throw his cup against the wall.
Absolutely. I hope that he can hear me yelling from the bedroom and he's just like, snaps the switch in half.
No, you don't want that.
That's because David, please don't snap the switch, like, in half.
Yeah, please don't. That would be sad.
I have so many flowers to plant.
Well, no, now we have bushes to plant.
Oh my goodness, bushes.
I just got terraforming like a week ago, so I have a lot to do.
No, but one of the things I wanted to kind of talk about was that, especially working in a school, is fanfic has really helped kids' reading levels and actually want to read again. Because I will see them put on, like, their reading logs, whatever it is, and they'll try to pass it off as a book, and I'll just look at them, and they know I know. I had one, like, God, 5 years ago, right? Like, put one down about Justin Bieber, and I was like, is this an actual book? And they're like, yeah, I checked it out from the library. And then I kind of quickly Googled it in the back, and I'm like, they're reading a fan fiction, whatever.
You know what?
It gets them reading.
Counts,
it gets them reading.
Yeah. 100%.
And the teachers might not be a fan of it, but it gets them reading.
I cannot fathom a teacher having to look at me at 13 years old.
Oh, God.
And be like, I know that this is a pornographic fan fiction about Gerard Way and not a real book.
I can't even imagine.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Benson, if you're out there.
Wrote a fake
I wrote a fake book report on 2001 once, and I only read... No, I didn't even read it. I think I read the first, like, chapter, and then I read...
Wait, on Space Odyssey?
Yeah, I never read
it. Oh my god,
I've still never read it, and I wrote a book report, and I got an A, so...
So there Hell you go. Yeah, Gary.
Because you're a good bullshitter.
I'm a good bullshitter, I guess. My grandfather taught me never bullshit a bullshitter. And I think I took that to heart.
I feel like I've learned so much about your grandfather today.
I didn't expect it to come up, but, you know, I miss you, Pop-Pop, I guess.
We're getting very emotional on this episode.
It's, I've been at home too long, y'all.
Yes.
It's been too long. I feel like I have become undone a little bit.
As long as it's not a lot of it.
Not a lot of it. I'm still working, so that's good.
You're still doing something to keep the brain a little bit busy.
Yeah. No, I think I need that right now, honestly, too. So.
Yeah.
It's been good. Happy this is happening by the time by the time people are hearing this, episodes have been airing, but by the time we recorded this, episodes will be had have been airing in like a couple days.
That's so exciting.
It's happening.
I am so ready.
The podcast is real, y'all. The RSS feed exists. I have subscribed on my phone to this podcast, which means it's real.
You mean this isn't just an hour and a half fever dream that I'm having because the apartment is very hot?
It might be because my studio is very hot. So I think we're having the same dream.
I don't want to be like that Californian that complains about the weather because I moved here from Arizona, but like tomorrow it's going to be 89.
Yeah,
and I'm going to like die.
Well, for, I guess, inside baseball for people that don't live in Southern California, I don't have my apartment. None of the apartments I've ever lived in have air conditioning.
My apartment has an air conditioner, and then the people that left it left their plug-in air conditioner for the bedroom. But the downside is, one, those are extremely expensive to run, but two, there are no ceiling fans in this whole apartment.
See, here's my problem. I have a fan in my bedroom, but it can't run while we're recording because it's too loud.
Yeah, same with my air conditioner. It's way too loud.
Yeah, so I'll just imagine me just like gross.
But no, all I'm saying is anyone that's listening from Arizona will absolutely give me shit for being moving here from Arizona, where like I walked to work in 115 degree weather and like complaining that it's maybe 85 in my apartment right now.
But see, the thing is you've been in San Diego for so long. I feel you've become a San Diegan, and we are
incredibly spoiled. It's the same way that like I'm from Chicago, but like if it snows, like I'm going to cry.
You're in San Diego.
Could you imagine if it snowed? What would we do if it snowed?
Guys, when I lived in Arizona, it snowed in my small town for like literally 15 minutes. And everyone, like, they couldn't remember how to drive. People were just like standing outside of their houses.
When I was living in North Carolina and Virginia growing up, it used to snow every year on my birthday. Every year. For like 13 years. And I don't think I've seen snow in like longer than that now, actually.
Okay, friends, I hate to be that person, but I do have to go.
We should wrap up.
At least like you're talking about this up a long weather.
Time ago. Actually, really. Thank you everyone for being here for this obnoxious episode of A Galaxy Not So Far Away. Thank you to Austin Farmer for letting us use the song Kill the Farm Boy for our intro and outro music. You can go find him on Spotify. The album Bookshelf Symphony Orchestra is the one that comes from. You can
Before we go, we should do TBR.
We should! Thank you for interrupting. I was just gonna like wrap it up and be done.
Gary's over it.
I'm done. Kylie said she had to go. I was gonna
Kylie, what are you reading?
I'm still reading The Goblin Emperor. I'm taking it very slowly because it is a comfort book, and it is, and I'm just enjoying it, taking my sweet time.
How rapidly are the they're doing a Twitter
read? Oh, I'm very far behind. I'm very behind.
I wasn't sure. I had to check.
And then I also, you know, I reread Deathless, like I think I mentioned a couple episodes ago.
You did.
And that has sent me on to a full-fledged research binge. So I have some nonfiction titles on 19th and 20th century Russia that I am working through right now.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised, but also that's rad.
It's pretty fun. I mean, it's not that fun because it's lots of stuff's happening in that point of history, but it's the books are
that's
good.
Fun. Hey, I know you didn't like the Black Tapes, but you should listen to Tanis because they got some good Russian folklore in there.
Okay. The Black Tapes scarred me.
Jenny, what are you reading?
I am almost done with The Glass Hotel, which has been great and a little bit of a change of pace for me. And then next, I am reading Chaos Reigning by Jesse Mihalik, which is the final book in a wonderful series.
Nice. So.
That everybody should read.
Victoria, what about you?
I am currently reading Crave by Tracy Wolf, and I'm probably going to take a break from that and go read a bunch of fanfic, because I'm in a fanfic mood.
Great. Becca, what are you reading?
Victoria, tell them what I'm going to be reading.
She's going to be reading Catwoman.
Great. Okay. Yes.
Soul.
Beautiful.
As soon as she comes and gets it from me. We will keep our social distancing.
She will. Stealer.
They will text me and put it on my. I'll put it on my porch, and then they can come grab it.
Also, since we're talking fanfic, for what it's worth,
yes.
I'm always keeping up. It's not fanfic, but I'm always keeping up with Lore Olympus on Webtoons. And as far as fanfic goes, I am always keeping up with Casanovella's most recent series, Little Bird. But. We mentioned her earlier. She did Fix Your Attitude, and her fan fiction's great. If you're into stuff that's a little rougher around the edges as far as 18-plus fan fiction goes, I really recommend it.
Nice. I am still working my way through Christopher Rocchio's The Howling Dark audiobook because it is so long. But I love it so much. It's been really good. There are big things happening where I'm at right now in the book, so I don't want to talk about, like, the state of things right now, but it looks like it's leaning more in a direction that that I'm going to enjoy than it had previously occupied last time I updated y'all. Also, I just started reading Joseph Inc. and Jeffrey Craner's newest Night Vale book, The Faceless Old Woman Who Secretly Lives in Your Home. I'm listening to the audiobook of that. It's read by Mara Wilson. Folks will know Mara Wilson because she was Matilda in the Matilda movie back in the 90s. She has been the voice of the faceless old woman who secretly lives in your home for a while on Night Vale. And the book has been really good. It's really talking. It's a lot about, like, who she was before she became the faceless old woman who secretly lives in all of our homes. Been good.
Oh shit.
I like it.
I'm also about to start reading Verona Comics by Jennifer Dugan because I really want to review it for the store, so keep an eye out for that. I now have a staff picks page, so
nice.
Yay.
Yeah, by the time people hear this, I'll have already done the virtual event with Joseph Fink and Jeffrey Craner, which is happening next week, and I'm nervous.
You're gonna do great.
It'll be fine. I know it'll be fine, but also, like,
just don't drink whiskey.
No, easy. I never drink whiskey. It'll be fine. Okay. Where was I with the outro?
Where you can find us
on mistgalaxybooks.com to buy books. We are still shipping books online, even though everything else is shut down. So mistgalaxybooks, that's mystgalaxy.com. You can find us on Twitter at Mist Galaxy Books and on Instagram at Mist Galaxy Books, and I think even on Facebook at Mist Galaxy Books. So go follow.
I don't mean to interrupt again.
Pages. Oh my goodness, Becca, what?
You can also buy books from us now at bookshop.org.
Yes, you can. Except please buy them from us because there's a weird discount difference, if that makes sense to people listening. But you can buy them, yeah. Bookshop.org, which I guess at this point has been around for a couple months for people listening, but we are on there. We've been adding our shop there. I think Kelly just told us about adding some stuff from Out of Print on there today.
Mm-hmm.
So people
very can go exciting. Find
them. Yeah. And then is that it? I think that might be it.
I think that is it.
Thank you, everybody. Go give us a rating on iTunes and Spotify and things. And join us next time in a galaxy not so far away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.